Picture a controller screen in Baghdad Center. Dozens of blips, each one representing a real aircraft on a real routing. Then something shifts. An aircraft appears to be flying through Iranian airspace. But the crew on that frequency reports they're nowhere near Iran. They're 150 miles to the west. Their transponder is broadcasting a position that doesn't match where they actually are. That scenario isn't hypothetical. It's been happening, repeatedly. And it points to a structural flaw in the surveillance system we spent a decade and billions of dollars building. I'm Vector on Radio Hangar, and this is Clear Direct. Today we're talking about GPS spoofing, specifically how it breaks Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast, or ADS-B, what it means for the controllers and pilots relying on it, and whether the surveillance mandate that went into effect in 2019 actually has the foundation we thought it did. Before we get into it, this segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. If you've earned a real milestone in aviation, first solo, instrument rating, CFI certificate, Aviation Soul makes challenge coins for exactly those moments. Beautifully made, built to last, AviationSoul.com. Let's break this down from the ground up. ADS-B works on a principle that's elegantly simple and it turns out deceptively fragile. Your aircraft computes its own position from the global positioning system. It packages that position, along with your altitude velocity and your aircraft's unique 24-bit ICAO address, into a data package. It broadcasts that package on 1090 MHz, the extended SQDR format, once per second. Every aircraft within line of sight receives it. Ground stations receive it. Air traffic control receives it. No radar interrogation required. No ground infrastructure needed to determine your position. The aircraft tells the world where it is. That's the dependent part of the name. ADS-B is dependent on the aircraft's own navigation system for its truth. And that's exactly where the vulnerability lives. GPS signals are extraordinarily weak by the time they reach your antenna. We're talking about satellites 20,000 kilometers overhead, transmitting at around 50 watts. The signal arrives at your aircraft with a power level roughly equivalent to a cell phone tower sitting 1,000 miles away. By any engineering measure, it's a whisper, and a whisper is easy to shout over. GPS spoofing works by transmitting a stronger counterfeit GPS signal from the ground. Your receiver hears this louder signal, trusts it, computes a false position, and broadcasts that false position via ADS-B out. You believe you're where you actually are. Your transponder says you're somewhere else entirely. Air traffic control sees you somewhere else. Every traffic display within range shows you somewhere else. The data tells an interesting story about how quickly this problem emerged at operational scale. The Aviation Safety Reporting Network, known as OPS Group, which connects commercial and business aviation crews worldwide, began systematically tracking anomalous GPS events around 2022. By 2023, their reports had cataloged thousands of incidents. The geographic concentration was striking. The Baghdad Flight Information Region, the Tehran Flight Information Region, the Mediterranean Corridor near Cyprus, the Baltic region, particularly around the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad, the Black Sea. These aren't random coordinates. These are areas where electronic warfare capability is either actively deployed for military purposes or where there's significant investment in jamming and deception infrastructure near active conflict zones. GPS spoofing is, at its core, an electronic warfare technique. It was developed by militaries for use against adversaries. What's changed is that those techniques are now washing into civilian airspace at a scale that wasn't anticipated when this surveillance system was designed. Here's what most people miss. Military GPS jamming has existed for decades. The problem is not new. What's new is the intensity, the geographic persistence, and the direct collision between this electronic warfare environment and a civilian surveillance architecture, ADS-B, that was deployed with no authentication layer whatsoever. Let me stay on that point because it's the center of the problem. ADS-B out, as standardized and deployed across the global fleet, has no cryptographic authentication. When your transponder broadcasts on 1090 MHz, there is no digital signature verifying that the position data in that packet is accurate. Any transmitter with the right frequency and the right encoding format can inject a false ADS-B target, a phantom aircraft, into the surveillance picture. It can be done with software-defined radio hardware that a technically capable hobbyist can acquire for under $300. Researchers at the Technical University of Berlin demonstrated this in published research years before the United States mandate went into effect. The vulnerability was known. The system was deployed anyway. That decision, and it was a deliberate decision, not an oversight, was based on a real trade-off. Adding cryptographic authentication to the ADS-B standard would have significantly increased transponder complexity and cost. The FAA's next-gen modernization program, the broader initiative to shift American airspace from radar-based to satellite-based surveillance, was already facing industry resistance over equipage cost. If authentication had been a mandate requirement, it's likely the program would have stalled. The decision was made to deploy the unauthenticated system and revisit authentication in a later standard revision. That later revision is called ADS-B version 3. It exists within International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO, working groups as a defined technical concept. It includes cryptographic authentication, essentially a digital certificate tied to each aircraft's unique ICAO address, verifiable by any receiving ground station or airborne equipment. Version 3 would make spoofing a published broadcast substantially more difficult. Any receiver could immediately flag a position packet lacking a valid certificate. Version 3 is not deployed anywhere in the world. There is no finalized mandate date. Transitioning the installed fleet from version 1, which represents the vast majority of currently equipped aircraft globally, to version 3 requires hardware upgrades across millions of transponders worldwide. The realistic transition timeline is measured in decades, not years. So in the meantime, the operational reality is this. The surveillance picture that controllers see and that the traffic display in your cockpit shows is only as trustworthy as the GPS signals feeding it. I want to be precise about the actual failure modes, because this is a topic where overstatement is easy and accurate characterization matters more. The most commonly reported effect in pilot accounts is what crews have been calling an airport ghost. A spoofed GPS position places the aircraft, on paper, over a specific airport. Cairo has come up repeatedly in crew reports from the Middle East corridor. The aircraft's systems respond accordingly. The Terrain Avoidance and Warning System, or TAIWAS, generates an alert because the false position shows the aircraft near the surface. The crew looks up from the panel. They're at cruise altitude over open desert. No terrain within range. The alert is entirely false, but it creates immediate workload in the flight deck at exactly the moment you need your situational awareness most. More technically concerning is the downstream effect on TCAS, the Traffic Collision Avoidance System. TCAS relies on transponder data from surrounding aircraft to compute relative geometry and issue resolution advisories. The climb or descend commands the system generates when traffic presents a conflict. If a nearby aircraft's ADS-B position is being spoofed, TCAS may compute conflict geometry based on where that aircraft appears to be, not where it actually is. The resolution advisory issued to your crew could direct a maneuver based entirely on phantom data. Researchers modeling this scenario have described a situation where a false TCAS resolution advisory directs an aircraft to descend into actual conflicting traffic. That outcome hasn't appeared in the official accident record, as far as I'm aware, but the physics of the scenario are real, and the spoofing environments where it could unfold are documented and active. The practical check on the system, the primary reason the surveillance network continues to function despite widespread spoofing, is a technique called multilateration. Ground-based receiver stations at airports and en route facilities receive ADS-B transmissions and independently calculate aircraft position using time difference of arrival methods. Three or more stations receiving the same transmission can triangulate where an aircraft actually is, regardless of what the GPS-derived position claims. If the ADS-B reported position and the multilateration-derived position show significant divergence, that's a detectable signature of interference. Controllers in affected regions have been trained to treat that discrepancy as an indicator. Eurocontrol, the European Aviation Coordination Body, has developed cross-validation guidance specifically addressing this signature. Some facilities have added dedicated monitoring infrastructure, but multilateration requires ground infrastructure. Over the ocean, over remote terrain, over areas where ground equipment has been damaged or destroyed, multilateration doesn't exist. And that, not coincidentally, is precisely where the most aggressive and sustained spoofing activity has been reported. There's a secondary surveillance dimension to this that doesn't get enough attention in the safety conversation, and it runs in an unexpected direction. ADS-B's open unauthenticated broadcast architecture doesn't just create a spoofing vulnerability. It created something the original system designers didn't fully anticipate, a global, real-time, publicly accessible aircraft tracking network. A distributed network of enthusiast-operated ground stations connected to aggregation sites now tracks virtually every ADS-B-equipped aircraft in the world. Because the broadcast is unencrypted and unauthenticated, anyone with a receiver and an internet connection can see the surveillance picture. The public benefit has been genuine. journalists tracking government air activity, safety researchers monitoring unusual operations, accident investigators reconstructing flight paths. The accountability value is real. But it also created a privacy tension the FAA has struggled to resolve. The FAA does operate a privacy ICAO address program, which allows general aviation operators to request rotating ICAO codes that make continuous tracking on public platforms more difficult. The program has significant participation constraints, and it does not make aircraft invisible to air traffic control, only harder to follow on enthusiast tracking sites. The tension is structural. A surveillance system designed to make every aircraft visible to controllers also makes every aircraft visible to everyone. And the unauthenticated architecture that creates the spoofing vulnerability is the same architecture that enables the public tracking network. You cannot simultaneously close the spoofing hole, extend privacy protections, and maintain the open accessibility that makes public tracking possible. These goals conflict at the protocol level. So where does this leave us? Version 3 authentication is the right technical fix. It's also a decade-plus transition at realistic planning horizons. In the near term, the response is operational and procedural. If you're flying international routes through high-threat corridors, OPS Group publishes a maintained threat map at opsgroup.aero. It's updated regularly and worth including in your pre-flight planning if you're routing through the Middle East, the Baltic, or the Black Sea region. The FAA's guidance for GPS-degraded environments advises cross-checking GPS position against other navigation sources, VHF omnidirectional range and distance measuring equipment, or VOR and DME, where coverage exists, or against inertial navigation if your aircraft carries it. If your GPS position disagrees meaningfully with your other instruments and doesn't match what ATC is expecting, you may be in a spoofed environment, declare it. Ask for position confirmation. Use your conventional navigation skills. Avionics manufacturers including Honeywell and Garmin have active research programs targeting spoof detection at the receiver level. The physics of a ground-based counterfeit transmitter differ from a genuine GPS satellite constellation, different signal geometry, different Doppler characteristics, and those differences may be detectable without changes to the broadcast protocol itself. Production solutions have not shipped yet. The engineering work is live. The conversation that aviation authorities have been slow to force at a policy level is a direct reckoning with whether an unauthenticated, self-reported surveillance architecture is adequate for an operational environment that now includes active electronic warfare near civilian routes. We built ADS-B on the assumption that GPS was reliable and that civilian airspace was insulated from the kind of adversarial radio frequency environments that military aviation plans around. Neither assumption has held. The threat model has changed. The system hasn't caught up. That's not a reason to lose confidence in ADS-B overall. Radar had vulnerabilities too. The answer is version 3 authentication, multilateration coverage extension, and receiver-level spoofing detection. The roadmap exists. The timeline is long. But for now, the blip on that traffic display is a claim, not a certainty about where another aircraft is. Worth keeping that in mind every time you look at the screen. Sources today include UPS Group's GPS interference documentation, Technical University of Berlin research on ADS-B security vulnerabilities, and Eurocontrol's operational guidance on spoofing. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector. The GPS might be lying today.